Hi, this is Pat Mullally of golfgirls.com, and this morning I have the pleasure of speaking with LPGA Class A teacher, instructor, and owner of Sue Weger Golf, Sue Weger of Scottsdale, Arizona, right?
Good morning, Pat.
How are you doing?
We're doing great here. It's going to be 65 and sunny, so we are not complaining.
No, well, I'm on Cape Cod, and we are at under 0 degrees today, so we're not playing any golf right now. But I'm eager to learn what you've got to tell me and share it with my readers. Tell me, first of all, I see you have a new publication, Your Inner Fairway, Change Your Brain, Change Your Game. Tell me about that and about your business, Lifetime Golf Connections.
I'm an LPGA Class A member, and my business is I teach people how to feel better and play better, and on and off the golf course, actually. I do a lot of mind and body with golf, because we all know that we ask a lot of players, you know, how are they improving? And the traditional model is they go out there and hit balls and hit balls and hit balls, and actually that model doesn't work for getting better. So I've added a mindset, and mindset first, skill set second. And, you know, just like in life, there's 80-20 rule, 80% psychology and 20% skills. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Yes, you have to have skills and within that 20%, but in order to get better, you really have to change the way you think, because your brain controls everything, including your skills. So we'll talk about that day in regards to change your brain, change your game is an idea we came up with you know, how your thoughts and your emotions control your actions, and your action is called your golf swing.
So
we'll talk about that today, and what your inner fairway is understanding who you are as a true, authentic self, and how you show up and how you treat yourself on and off the golf course really does affect your performance.
All right. Well, my target market is primarily the avid amateur. These are the people, men and women, who really love the game, want to improve, can't quite figure out why they can't. You know, what's the next step? How do I conquer? You know, they take the swing mechanics, they go to the instructors and they learn how to swing and they practice and they have one of those, I have one of those little orange whip things, you know, that allows you to learn the balance. I mean, I'm trying everything, and still when I go out there, one bad shot can ruin the rest of the round, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what happens to me on the golf course is I go out with a cup, usually with friends, people I know well. And we go out and we play, and I have to admit, I don't often get enough stretching before I even start. So I go out, I hit that first shot, it ends up in the woods or over to the side, and I know I'm never going to make par on this first hole. And that sort of sets the tone often until like the third hole when you finally make that 40-foot putt, which is a small miracle. So your mind really controls so much. So I really want you to share with the listeners how you can work with that. How do you overcome that? How do you manage that? I guess that's the word, manage.
Yeah, so we're talking about what we call it in golf, it's a T. It's called TEA. It's thoughts, emotions, and actions. Well, let's talk a little quick. The first question I ask a lot of people is, how much of the game is mental? And what would you say it is? What percentage out of 100?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. I've heard rumors that it's 90%, but it wouldn't surprise me. 80, 90, 100. I don't know. It's more mental than it is physical. That's for sure.
That is true. And so what we do is we ask this question a lot, and the researchers around how much of the game is mental. And it's, you know, the surveys come back all the time, at least 80%, sometimes 90%. So you have to wonder if players are practicing. And what they do is traditionally they only practice 10 to 20% of what the game really is. That's why the improvement is slow or it's non-existent. So traditionally, what do people work on? They work on the mechanics and how to take the club back and the grip, the aim, the posture, or they go out and, well, if I didn't play well, I'm going to go to the range and hit balls.
Yeah.
Well, that's the definition of insanity, because you're doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Golf is not static. Golf is dynamic, so it has to be created. And we talk about that in order to – it's really about the mental state and your mindset of what you do. So we're going to talk about what we call change your brain, change your game. And your mind is the top influencer of your game. The second most influencer of your game, in a sense, is really your short game. But we're going to talk about the mind because it's the top influencer of your game.
Okay.
And let's understand the difference, or why did you say the correlation? And we talk about thoughts and emotions and actions. And you can see on the screen that, you know, it's a little bit of a pyramid or in a circular. So your thoughts create an emotion. And we'll talk a little bit about this. And here's an example of a golf cycle. So here you have a thought, which means, okay, you're going to swing and I'm going to hit this ball into the middle of the fairway. Well, what kind of self-talk and what kind of belief do you have? You really believe that that's what's going to happen? Or what kind of self-talk that comes
up?
Well,
in my case,
and so you say, well, I'm afraid of the bunker on the right. I'm afraid of the bunker on the left, whatever. So that's going to lead to an emotion.
Right.
And that emotion leads into an outcome. Such as, well, if you're afraid of the water, what usually happens?
You hit into the water.
The ball usually goes to the water, or you manipulate the swing so the ball doesn't go into the water.
Right.
So you get an outcome. Well, that outcome leads to another emotion, and it's called an anchor. So what do you do? And we'll talk about this in regards to the full cycle of it. So some people, like, well, they anchor it by throwing a club because they're upset with a shot. Or some people actually smile and have a fist pump when they celebrate it, and that's also another anchor. So we ask people, like, well, what's your pattern? After you hit a bad shot, what do? Do you say to yourself, well, I knew I was going to do that? Well, obviously, you're right. And then what happens if you know that that's what's going to happen, you actually end up getting another bad shot. And then you say to yourself, well, I knew I wasn't going to play very well. And then you continue to play a few holes, you know, or what happens, and I call it the front nine, back nine syndrome. You play really well the front nine.
Yeah.
And then what happens on the back nine?
Well, now you've got too much.
What usually happens, Pat?
In the complete golf cycle, we've got your thoughts, the self-talk and beliefs. If they're not in sync, if you, in other words, you really believe that you're going to hit the fairway, but this little voice in the back of your head says, no, you're not.
That's right.
Which one takes over?
That's your subconscious thought. And your subconscious thought drives 95% of your actions. And well, there's a little bit, it's called, you know, the iceberg theory. It's like, you know, you have an iceberg and what's on, you know, what's on top and what's below. And your below is your thoughts and your belief system and who you truly think you are.
So,
because it's all about your self-image.
So the subconscious is actually more powerful than what you're saying to your friends, I'm going to hit this one a mile. I say that and I believe it, but I know in my deep the angel on my right shoulder is telling me I'm a fool to think so, right?
That exactly. And then when you step up into the ball, your true self and your true belief system shows up. And you're like, wow. And then what happens is you get an outcome. And then you say to yourself, well, I knew I wasn't going to hit that very well. Well, you're absolutely right because you exactly got that outcome. And then that leads to some type of an emotion or an anchor. And we talk about this and how to train this so that it really starts with the thought and how you react to shots and respond to shots. And we talk about in our training, we give tools about what's the difference between reactions and responding. There's a big difference between a response and a reaction, because a reaction is usually an anchor, what automatically comes up, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So we talk to we tell people, we ask them, well, what's your pattern? Do you really understand? Are you mindful what your pattern is? What do you do when you hit a bad shot? You know, what kind of self-talk comes up? Because if you keep giving that self-talk, you're giving it energy. And we all know that what you focus on is where energy goes. And so you get more of what you focus on. So for example, here's a great example. So on a cycle, the thought is the person comes up to the tee and says, well, they think I'm a terrible player.
Right.
So what do you think, what kind of emotion is going to come up when you have that thought?
Well, I was just going to ask you about the influence of other people you're playing with. If they think you're a great player, what happens? If they think you're a terrible player, if I'm playing with somebody who's really good and is very impatient, you know, as opposed to willing to spend time and teach and whatever, there's a whole different dynamic that happens there. So
absolutely.
If I get a feeling that this person doesn't either like me or doesn't like the way I play, I get nervous, I get anxious, and then that just influences everything I do.
Exactly. So if you look at that exact example in this little, you know, cycle, is like, you know, what do they think of me? You know, and then what kind of emotions are going to come up? You're going to have like a little insecurity. You're going to be very self-conscious. You know, there's a judgment. There's some rejection. There's a lot of things going on. So what's going to happen to the body? the body itself is going to, you're going to naturally not breathe naturally.
Yeah.
You're going to feel tight. You're going to feel tense. So what type of golf shot do you think you're going to have based on that feeling?
It's not going to be very good.
Exactly. So the cycle is we have to start with the thoughts. And so we train people, instead of training traditionally like your golf swing, we have to train like, okay, we have a little, teach people how there's a process to this that you have to be aware of, that your thoughts can really direct your golf swing. Sometimes great, sometimes not so great.
Right.
And so what happens when we talk about, you know, the subconscious is like, you have, is the iceberg thought theory. 95% of your day, that your thoughts come from your, you know, the subconscious. So if you look at like the iceberg on the, the change model is, if you look at all the things that are underneath the water of the iceberg,
right?
The beliefs, your culture, what you were conditioned, your fears, your failures, your success, your self-image, all of that basic identity is all buried in that subconscious. And that's what drives your thoughts and therefore your emotions. And then therefore you get behaviors. So mm-hmm. it's that crazy cycle. So we can start it with your thoughts. Well, what's your thoughts bring up? What kind of emotions? What kind of self-image do you have about yourself? What kind of a belief do you have? In the sense, so we talk about, you know, what we believe is what we become, because our self-talk comes from our subconscious and it comes from our belief system. So we talk about, what's your inner dialogue? What type of self-talk? What conversations do you have before, during, or even after the round? Mm-hmm. What happens when you finish the round, you go to the 19th hole? What's the first question people ask you?
How was your game?
Exactly. And what do you say usually?
Oh, it was okay.
Exactly. We automatically go right to the negative.
I have never had the experience of saying, oh, you unbelieve it, I broke 80. It hasn't happened yet, so I can't say that. But you're right. Most of the time you're sort of downplaying any success, even if you had success.
Yeah. And so we start to beat ourselves up and we talk about what went wrong.
Yeah.
We never celebrate what went right. We don't focus on the good. We always focus on the negative. And so if you focus on the negative, you're going to get more negative.
Uh-huh.
So we talk self-talk, and understanding what self-talk is really very important tool, because you can teach yourself to reframe that self-talk very quickly as long as you're aware of it. So in our programs, we talk about, well, what is your limiting beliefs about your game? Like, we will actually ask him, what's the difference between your putting and your, for example, versus your tee shot of the driver? What's your belief system? You have to understand, well, do you have really limiting beliefs in part of your game? And that's what's probably showing up.
So if you, and one of my issues is chipping, okay? If I'm mm-hmm. on a downhill lie and I'm about 4 feet off the green and I have to chip on, I know, mm-hmm. and there's a lake on the other side of this green.
Mm.
All right?
And yes.
This happens to me all the time. I end up on that side of the green and I chip on and the foolish ball goes flying past the hole and down into the rough, or sometimes into the pond.
Right. So let me ask you, what are you focusing on, really?
Fear.
Exactly.
Deep fear.
Yeah. You're focusing on the water and the what if I miss this and what if I miss that. So
right.
What you're going to get is exactly what you're focusing on.
Uh-huh.
So we teach people how to change that focus, because your inner fairway is directing it. It's like an inner GPS. It's directing it. So what you're feeding it is what you're going to get.
Okay, so let's use this as an example. I'm 4 feet off the green, downhill lie, a pond on the other side of the green.
Correct.
So what words would you put to reframe?
What I would say is, I would ask you, number one is, what do you really want to do here?
I want to chip about, and I want to land at least 2 feet from the hole.
Great. Okay, so you focus on what you want. So all I want to, we focus, and you'll see this in our process, but we focus on what you want. So I'm going to hit it here. So you focus on your target spot or your landing area,
right,
and say, I just want to go there. There's nothing else involved. There's no lake. There's no bunkers. There's nothing else involved. It's called narrow focus. It's, what are you focusing on? All I want to do is practice my little golf swing to get the ball to that specific target area.
Right.
That's all we want to focus on. And so we teach people to, you know, gain information from the, we call it the caddy box and then the play box. And there's a process to this, which we'll get into. But there's a process to it, like, okay, well, what do you want? All right, I'm going to have, I'm going to use my left brain to collect some data, balls downhill or the greens downhill or, you know, what's my lie. So we have to collect that data in the caddy box. That's our left brain collecting information from the target.
Okay.
And then we make a strategy saying, based on what I know about this green, what I know about my skill, this is what I want to do. I want to hit it right here. I want to swing to that spot. And then all we're going to do is, and then we're going to watch the outcome rather than, well, I'm afraid if I hit it too far, it's going to go past the hole. You know, I'm going to afraid I'm in the hole or I'm in the bunker or I'm afraid I'm going to roll past the green. See the difference in the self-talk?
Right. Because you're actually emphasizing what's going to go wrong.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. And what you focus on, your brain doesn't know the difference between do and don't. For example, don't go in the water. Do go in the water. The focus is on the water, not the do and the don't.
Right.
So you have to be careful of the languaging of what you're using and saying, okay, I want to go there. So I ask my players all the time when I'm caddying for them, I'll walk up to the shot and I'll say, okay, what do you want? And they're like, well, I just want to go there. Boom. That's where we started.
Okay.
So we're asking the right questions with that. So this is to learn how to build your success cycle.
Okay.
You need to understand what a pre-shot routine is because it's very important. It's just like an actor and an actress's. What do they do before they go on stage? They prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just prepare. And then when they get on stage, they're actually going to be in the play box, which means they're just going to execute what they learn, what they have, whatever. What they already know. And you're going to create the shot. And then you're actually going to have a post-shot routine because a post-shot routine is very, very important because you need to learn how to close the shot.
That's new information. I understand the pre-shot. I know how to get into a play box, get mm-hmm. the shot. But afterwards, you should throw your hands in the air and say, okay, well, maybe it'll get better.
Yeah. And so what happens is we call it the ACE. It's called awareness, clarity, and execute. What are you in the pre-shot routine, what are you paying attention to? What are you aware of? You know, it's collecting the data of the, you know, and then what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the water? Are you focusing on the bunker? Are you focusing in the middle of the fairway? Are you focusing on the middle of the green? Are you focusing on your target? Okay. And then how do you execute your pre-shot routine? A lot of people already have a pre-shot routine, their own process of, you know, what they do to like to get ready.
Yeah.
And it's their own. It's nothing saying, okay, it's a cookie cutter. You have to do it this way. There's no such thing. And then in the play box, it's like, what are you going to create and what are you aware in the play box? How do you feel? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel fear? What are you focused on? And then what are you executing? And then we talk about that. And then the post-shot routine, same thing. What are you aware of after you hit the shot? Are you beating yourself up, self-talk, or you have negative? Are you celebrating the bad stuff, or are you celebrating the good stuff out of what was good about the shot? What are you focusing on? And then how do you execute the post-shot routine? And we'll talk a little bit about that. So you have the caddy box. Oops, sorry. Is the box where you prepare. It's like you're an actor. And then in the middle, you have to do, that's the green line, what you see on the screen, is you have to decide, commit to succeed. So you have to make the decision. It's like, this is my club I'm going to hit, and this is my strategy that I'm going to use, and I feel great about it, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to hit it there. We step into the play box, and we just do it. It's like the Nike commercial. Just show up and do it. It's play. It's not thinking, okay, I have to grip it like this or stand like this in order to mechanically drive this golf swing.
Okay,
that's not what it's about.
All right, so this assumes, I'm going to make an assumption here, but this assumes that you already know how to do all of that stuff, the mechanics. Yes, no, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, because we have beginners. We teach this to brand new beginners too, because all in a beginner's mind is like a child's mind. In a childlike state, you're like, okay, I just want to go play. I just want to go here.
Right.
I don't care how I do it. And so even newer players, your body and your brain knows what to do at times. And yes, they have to have some fundamentals to saying, okay, well, but in kids, when we do instruction, we let them just do what they do. We don't like, okay, you have to change your grip and you have to be this way. The play box is about creation. You know, everybody's a little bit different. That's why it kind of goes back to the 80-20 rule. 80% is psychology and 20% is golf skill. But within that 20% of golf skill, if you may, there's a lot of factors in the sense of, okay, do I need to understand what putting is and chipping is? Basically, you know, into that. So yes, there's some mechanics to it, just like any other sport. But if you're standing at a free throw line and you don't even know how to shoot a basketball, but you say, okay, there's the hoop, and all I want to do is get the ball in the hoop, what would you do?
You throw it.
You just throw it in there whatever way you know how, and however your brain says, well, okay, maybe it's underhanded, maybe it's right-handed, maybe it's left-handed. It doesn't matter.
Right. So there is, in a sense, an advantage to this childlike simplicity. In other words, just do it. Just enjoy it. And don't overthink the process.
Absolutely. It's about play. Uh-huh. You know, go. You know, when kids go out and play, they just go, I'm just going to go, you know, swing. I'm not going to think about how I'm going to do it.
Right.
And yeah, we need to be in that play box. So another thing about in finishing the cycle, going back in the post-shot routines, why it's so important is because we know that the stronger the emotional reaction is that's tied to your outcome,
yeah,
the stronger chance is that's going to be stored in your long-term memory. You wire it in your system. So if you want to emotionally connect with your great shots, do you celebrate those or do you give more emotion to the not-so-good shots? And most people give more emotion or more anchoring to the not-so-good shots.
Well, I'll tell you, and I've heard this from other people, there are times, and this is why I keep going back to golf, that you hit a shot and you don't know where it came from, but it was perfect. And you got there in three, and you really, I birdied the third hole at our club, which I have never done before. But the last time I played that was the last time I played golf this past fall. And so I still remember that, and that's why I want to go play golf again, because that memory holds in my memory. You know what I mean? I was able to celebrate that and say, I remember doing that. I can do that again. Do you know?
Exactly. And so in post-shot routines, it's about celebrating, and that celebration creates an emotion. So go back to that cycle of thoughts, emotions, and actions. So if you create an outcome that you absolutely love and you anchor it, you can wire that in your nervous system, and that's going to create another emotion. And you're like, wow, now I'm going to anchor that in. So I'm going to physically do something. So a lot of players, what do they do when they hit a good shot? What do you do when you hit a good shot? How do you do it? How do you feel physically? Is there something that, you know, like you see Tiger does a fist pump, or, you know, you have other people that, you know, will do something. You'll see them anchor it something in their, you know, in their body, whether or not it's just a little bit of a pump or Phil.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure other people can observe me and say, oh yeah, she always does X, Y, Z, but I don't have a conscious thing. I think I smile.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll pump a fist, but more often than not, I find myself being very silent.
Why?
I don't know. I think because I'm surprised.
Yes, exactly. So you don't believe that that's you.
Right. There's a part of me that says, that was a surprise. That never should have happened, or it did happen. Wow, I guess I'm better than I thought. All those other things come through, you know?
Exactly. So you're anchoring. So that's what we talk about, the self-belief in regards to paying attention in the self-talk, even after the shot. Because after the shot, it's like, what are you anchoring? So do you physically, like on the screen, we have people who, you know, you miss a shot and they throw the club and they're so mad. That's an anchor. You're actually going to get more of that versus like when you hit a great shot, celebrate it and like anchor that in too. Mm-hmm. And there's an emotion attached to that. So emotionally, what are you saying to yourself after a shot and a not so good shot versus when the ball goes in the hole? Even when the ball goes in the hole, when we do our retreats, it does. It comes up, Pat, that they say, well, if you hit a good shot and they're like, well, what's your self-talk? And they're like, well, that wasn't me, or that was just lucky.
Right.
That's not good. That's not good, is it?
No, because it diminishes what you just accomplished.
And it was you. And who did that?
Well, it wasn't my mother. It was me.
It was right. And so we talk about it was me. And that statement right there is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And we teach our players is that you need to tell yourself and believe that that was you.
Uh-huh. Now,
and so it changes your self-talk.
Now, let me ask this, and it would relate to a lot of avid amateur golfers.
Yes.
What do you do when the people around you either don't join or do join in that celebration?
And you know what? That's why golf is so wonderful, because it's individual.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's people – I was working with a group, and they said, well – what if I jump up for joy, you know, and scream and yell, and that's my anchor? And I said, well, is that what you really want? And they're like, well, no, not really.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, you know, you can be gracious, you can be respectful, and still celebrate your goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And to each individual, it's going to depend on that person. I was teaching a group, and we were doing a group coaching with an inner club team, a team that travels to the other country clubs, and they compete against other country club teams. And
yeah.
we were out on the golf course, and we were hitting this one difficult shot, and six of them were standing up there. And I said, okay, I want you ladies to go ahead and hit this shot. And one lady hit the shot, and it was a pretty good shot. And she turned around, she goes, well, that was really pretty good for me. And so I asked her, I said, how would you feel about that shot? And she goes, that was really good for me. I said, okay, how'd you anchor it? She goes, I just felt good about it. And I said, great. Next person stood up, hit the shot. She goes, she hits the shot. It was about 6-8 feet away. And she's like, yeah, that's pretty good for me too. The next person, and we asked her the same thing, anchoring. She goes, I felt a little squeezed with the club. I'm like, okay. The next third person comes up there, hits the shot, hits the flagstick, bounced off the flagstick, and lands like 2 inches from the flag.
Sounds great.
Exactly. And all the girls were like yelling and screaming, oh, great shot, great shot. The individual woman that hit the shot didn't react to it at all.
Really?
Didn't react to it at all. She just turned around and everybody's like screaming. And her best friend walks up to her and smacks her on the shoulder and says, well, how come you're not happy about that? And she goes, I am. Internally, my heart is jumping, but I just don't celebrate it like you do.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Okay.
Because everybody's different.
As long as you're authentic.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Be who you are and celebrate, what I call is stand in the place of your own truth from coming from a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I love myself and I really like that shot, but I don't need to be standing up there on a bleacher yelling and screaming but other people might.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a little bit of a shift in the paradigm of what are you celebrating? What are you anchoring? In most cases, most people will give more energy to their negative, not so good shots than their good shots.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about with regard to this whole concept. I would really like to have you come back again so we can continue this conversation. Would you be willing to do that?
I would love to do that, Pat.
Okay. Well, then why don't we do this? Let's wrap this up, maybe with some advice, a line or two that those who are listening can take away from this part of the podcast, and then we can let everybody know when the next one's coming.
Yeah, that would be great. I would say the first question I would ask them is, why do you really play?
Uh-huh.
So what's your motivation? What's really the really real reason that you play? Is it because, you just like it? Understand the why of your game. Because if you stay connected to your why, so if it's, just for social reason, then if you play just for that reason, no matter who you're with, and you stay connected to that why, your other external factors won't control your outcome.
Okay.
And because if you stay like, well, I'm playing for, because I just love being with my girlfriends, for example.
Uh-huh.
Then you hit a bad shot, that post-shot routine is really should be connected to your why. Because if you go back to and say, well, I'm really just playing to be here, and that shot doesn't really matter because why am I here? I'm here because I'm playing and I'm really very grateful to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And so creating a state of really staying connected to why you're here. What are you paying attention to? And what are you focusing on in that sense? Because your thoughts create your emotions and your emotions create your golf swing.
Wow. This mental capacity it's super powerful, and it gives you a whole new appreciation for the pros, for example, who play so well under such pressure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is truly a difficult mental game, but for those of us who play on the amateur level, it can still be thoroughly enjoyable.
And absolutely,
yeah,
it can be very joyful. Very joyful.
I'm going to post your information where people can get a hold of this. Is this book available on Amazon or by direct purchase from you, or is it just part of your program?
It's part of the program, and it will be launched. We're going to do a book launch in right around the end of May and the 1st of June.
Okay, and that would be in 2015 for those who are listening later than this year. All right, well, I'll post that information, and we will talk again soon. Thank you so much for being on the Golf Girls podcast.
Absolutely. So go change your brain, change your game today, Pat.
Okay. Thanks so much. Next time we talk, I will be playing. There we go.
Yeah. That a girl.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.